Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Debra.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
So I think our computer here is possessed.
That
you were,
was so
you were plugging in
bizarre.
The correct number four different times. I just thought you were one of me, that
no.
we had numbers dyslexia.
I'm telling you, the second time, I'm like, okay, that's weird. Like, I was like, I swear I typed it in the right way.
I was actually convincing you that you were like,
yes,
going
you're like, okay.
Mad.
So, yeah, you were diagnosing me. That's okay.
Oh, my goodness. Really anyway, time to take a deep breath.
We're both, like, completely
wired.
Frazzled and,
yeah.
and crazy today. Like, it was a really nutty day for me, too. I feel like it's just been back to back to back to back, so.
Well, today's Christopher's actual birthday, and we
oh,
started the birthday week last week. You
oh,
know,
cool.
then mine officially starts tomorrow,
yes.
but I get Mother's Day in between, so I get a little bit longer.
Because yeah.
you can't, you know, Mother's Day right smack in the middle of my mm-hmm. birthday week, so I got to get 9 days. Just the way it works.
I love it. I love it. And so you're going to be in Disneyland?
No, we're going to go to Magic Mountain, I think.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. But like, you just love roller coasters. Like, that's
yeah,
what I want to do.
I love roller coasters, and I have not been there in probably 20 years.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm
wow.
serious. I haven't been to Disneyland in, like, 10 or 12 years.
Oh, my God.
I know. See, I need grandchildren.
Take, I have two really cute ones for you. Actually, I took mine to Universal, just the two of them
oh,
and me.
You really?
Can you believe that? Am
no.
I a brave bitch or what?
A brave bitch for
exactly.
sure.
No,
and?
And they did awesome. They
I bet
did
they
awesome.
Liked it. I bet they were good to you that day.
They were so good. If
and
they
how,
were so good, it scared me. Like, I thought I took the wrong children home.
And how did London mark the day? What was the
food?
Was it the food?
The food was, what did he eat? Oh,
ice cream.
I'm trying to think what he, oh, well, he had a donut that morning. So I made it very clear to him that if you have that donut, like, we're not going to get anything else at Universal Studios. And he was fine. He was
you
okay with
stuck
it.
With it?
Yes.
You stuck with it.
I'm getting
I believe
strict.
He was fine, but I can't believe
I'm
you stuck with it.
I know. I'm getting strict
you're,
in my
You're getting chutzpah.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
How was your week, hon?
Other than that, it was okay. Yeah, so my book is
officially
out. Yay!
Is it actually, it's the review copies right now.
The review's copies out, but it's on Amazon. You can pre-order
oh,
it.
Oh, okay.
It's called Thriving with ADHD. So I just want to throw it out
and
there.
And I'm honored that you're asking me to
yes,
write a blurb for
would
it.
You?
I happily,
would love that.
And that's very sweet what you wrote in the acknowledgments. I can't
oh.
believe that I was one of the few that made
oh.
it to that
category.
I made the cut.
I know. You did. It was a
oh,
serious cut.
Thank you.
No.
Very, very, very
of course.
Sweet.
Thank you for all your help.
Aww.
So that's, yeah, so I've been busy with that and the marketing and, yeah.
Wonderful. Then
yeah.
Are you going to do any marketing for it? Will you do your own social media?
You know,
media?
It's so funny. They have, like, a marketing team, but it's pretty much I'm the leader. I'm gonna guess.
Well,
and that's
I'll
probably,
blast the crap out of it.
You're so cute. I love you. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, they'll do, I guess, what they can on their part, and I'll do what I can.
And we're also excited to report that our engineer guy just told us
yes.
that our podcast is available on any one of your favorite apps.
It's perfect.
Anywhere.
So any
anytime.
Place where you can download podcasts.
Isn't that weird to think that we might be in somebody's living room, like, at midnight?
I'm sure we're other places, too, that I don't want to think about. So tell me about your week.
Oh, just we had a lot of fun over the weekend, and I'm going to probably go on a little hike this afternoon and take Christopher out to dinner, and, you know, it's pretty much whatever he wants to do.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I needed the reprieve after Vegas. My God.
That
knocked me. It took me a whole week to recover from that.
I love it. But I love how it doesn't hit you till, like, a few days later. Like, you're still raring to go, and when you come back.
I hit my lull, I think it was on Friday. On Friday, it was like,
wow,
whoa,
that's a long time.
I am just tired.
Yeah. You needed the rest.
It's all good. And Mr. Prowler's back on track. I think I told you
yes.
he had a little bit of a lull, and
yes.
we had to put him back on the prednisolone, and
he's okay now.
He's a feisty little fucker.
I love him.
I know.
He's a man after my own heart. I love him.
All right, okay.
So let's talk about last week.
Yes.
Last week we had Richard Schneider Jr. He is the editor-in-chief of the Harvard Gay and Lesbian Review. And I thought that was just a really fantastic, interesting show.
Well, I had felt so bad the last couple of years. We so underrepresented the
yeah.
gay and lesbian and
community.
All the other communities. So I'm so glad that we had
yeah.
him on board.
And it was great. It was just really
terrific.
Interesting. I love, like, hearing about how we got started in the 60s and the movement. And I don't
know. Swear I thought he was 25 years old.
Yeah, he sounded
But he was
youthful.
Closer to my age.
Yeah.
27.
That's, yeah, exactly. 29. We'll give you 29.
A few decades.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. But that was great. So if you missed that show, it was super interesting. And we talked a lot about gay and lesbian movement and what's changed and what stayed the same and all that good stuff.
And today we have a love expert, our favorites, Jonathan Robinson, a psychotherapist and best-selling author of 12 books. And he's been a frequent guest on Oprah and CNN. In addition, his work has been featured in USA Today and Newsweek magazine. He recently wrote a book called More Love, Less Conflict. And he's here with us today to talk about all things related to relationships, communication, and how to create more love and less conflict in your life. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you, Kelly, Dr. Deborah. It's good to be here.
Oh, yay. I know. This is awesome. So we, you know, that I don't know if you do know this, but Kelly and I are all about relationships. Whenever we're talking, that's what we're talking about.
We love it. I feel like both of us could talk about this till we're like blue in the face. We love this. So we're so excited to have you on.
So before we launch into this book, tell us a little bit about 12 other books. My goodness, you are a prolific writer. You have to be like, maybe are you like 14 and you've written one a year after you could talk?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm a psychotherapist, and I didn't know I could write. And the first book I wrote got me on Oprah, which kind of encouraged me to write other books. If you're going to write books, I recommend you write them in the Oprah, in the genre that Oprah likes.
Yes, exactly.
And that's always a good start. But you know, it just comes easy for me. Writing is a form of communication, and you always have to find your preferred way of communicating, and that worked for me.
And what was the first book you wrote? Which one landed you on Oprah?
The first book was called The Little Book of Big Questions. And I'm big on how certain questions can lead to instant intimacy. In fact, on my website, morelovelessconflict.com, I have 12 questions that lead to instant intimacy that people can get. And Oprah liked my questions, and she devoted a whole show to the questions in the book.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. But she's pretty selective. She doesn't even have authors on anymore, does she?
No. I mean, well, when she stopped her show, but yeah. I mean, she is super selective.
But for
selective.
The last couple of years of her show, she wasn't doing authors so much, I don't think.
Right. But
luckily, I got in before that, and she had me on four times for four different books. So I'm very grateful. You know, it's interesting. Oprah's an interesting case because she was, you know, very poor. She was actually put in the retarded children's class in school, and she was so poor she didn't even have a bathroom or running water in her house, and she had a stillborn child at age 14 after being gang raped. I mean, this is like the worst possible upbringing that you can have. But now she is currently the most loved person on earth. So I asked her one of the times, how'd you do that? And she said, well, I'm really dedicated to communicating and showing people I care. And by doing that every day, it led me from the lowest rung of the ladder to the highest. So I'm really focused on communication. And that's why she said she liked my books, because they're all about communication.
That's awesome.
That. Well, let's talk. Yeah, let's talk about your most current book, More Love, Less Conflict. I love that. And obviously, I'm sure you got this quite a bit, but I imagine people ask, what makes this different than all the other books on communications and relationships?
Good question. Well, you know, most books on communication and relationships are a lot of theory. Yeah, and I think people know that, you know, kindness is good and, you know, blaming and arguing are not good. So you don't really need so much theory. What people need, or what I needed, and I write the books partly to see if I can use them, is methods that are so simple that they can be mastered in 10 seconds or described in 10 seconds and can make dramatic shifts in any relationship. So I've been a hunter looking for those methods that are so powerful and so simple that even me, who was a very shy, non-communicative kid, can use them and they really work. So it's mostly a book on really simple methods and the stories of people who used them to change their relationships.
Love that. So can you give us an example of maybe some of the methods that you describe in the book?
Sure. There's 40, so I won't be able to you a lot of them.
That's
but
great.
Let me give you just a couple so you get to see how simple they are. I think in any relationship, two of the most important pieces of information is knowing what you're feeling and what you're wanting. So one of the methods is just completing the sentence, I feel blank and I want blank. And, you know, telling your partner that or anyone that really helps to know really where you are and where you want to be. So a lot of times, you know, I've been married 20 years. I still don't know. I still can't guess what my wife feels or what she wants. But when she says that, it helps us to feel immediately connected because now I know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one method. But, you know, I think most people, what they really want in relationships is understanding and empathy. So that's what Oprah does. She always, you know, when you talk to her, she looks like and seems like she's really getting you, mm-hmm. you know, like she really gets your feelings.
Yes.
And so I have a method that is simply when somebody says something to you, like how hard their day was, for you to respond in one sentence or less that says, oh, it sounds like you've had a really rough day. That must feel really exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the essence of empathy, is saying, summarizing what they said really simply and guessing how they feel. And when you give people empathy, they feel understood, and that feels really good.
For sure, for sure. It's funny that you're mentioning this because it's one of my pet peeves about people and the human language is most people, when they tell you how they're feeling, they haven't told you a feeling at all. They'll tell you their thoughts, their opinions, their judgments, but not I feel sad, mad, glad, afraid, nervous, confused.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
I feel like you are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's not a feeling.
Yeah. Yeah,
the
yeah,
second
yeah.
you end
right.
with
right.
a that or
uh-huh.
you,
uh-huh.
you're not telling a feeling. And getting yeah. people to really adopt that idea that a feeling is simple.
Right.
Right? And direct. Do
yeah.
do you encounter that a lot in your practice too with couples?
Absolutely. You know, most of us have no communication training, even though we do it like every waking moment.
Right.
You know, communication is really the key to good relationships, which is really the key to happiness. But most of us haven't ever taken a course in it or haven't even read a book on it. So people really don't know how to talk about their feelings or what they want. And that's why the methods in the book can be useful, because they're kind of like, have you ever been to a bowling alley where they have like inflatable balloons in the gutters,
yes.
you know, where you can't throw a gutter ball because it bounces off? You know
yeah.
what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, these communication methods are like that. They direct you so that you have to communicate in a way that's effective. And I find that when people are stressed out, they especially don't communicate in a way that's effective. They go into blame and shame and complain, and of course, that never works. So these simple methods can really make a huge difference because they make it so you can't blow it.
I just have this funny moment here going home today and say, Christopher, you're throwing gutter balls.
Yeah, exactly.
Get your ball out of the gutter. Communicate clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. I love it.
So I guess I would love to ask you this because you obviously deal with this. So we know the divorce rates almost at or above 50%. I don't know what it is, or maybe close to 50%. But why do you think that is? Like, because obviously that is an increase from many generations ago, and I'm just curious your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, not only is the divorce rate 50%, but it's higher for second and third marriages. So that means that people aren't learning from their mistakes. That's
right.
a problem.
Right.
Wow.
I think it's high because, you know, your marriage is a complicated thing, and yet people don't have any training on how to resolve conflict. They don't have any training in how to communicate in a way that gets their partner to change. They don't have any background at all. So it's like you're trying to run this complicated thing with no actual useful experience. It'd be like trying to fly a plane, but you've never, you know, been taught how to do that. So I think that's a problem. And also, you know, things are more stressful nowadays. You know, so everybody's dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's these things called WMDs. That's not weapons of mass destruction. It's widgets of mass distraction.
And
communicating by text or Facebook or all these other things interfere with the deep really meaningful conversation that's so necessary if we want more love and less conflict in our life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that reminds me, it's also, I think, you know, we teach people these skills, myself included. I can just become such a moron sometimes if I feel activated in some way where I'm either not being heard or I'm misunderstood. And then I get really self-righteous. And that's been like an ever-present challenge for me to like get out of my own way that way. And do you have some tools or skills to coach with that?
Absolutely. You know, self-righteousness feels great, doesn't it? I love it. You know,
3 minutes. Yeah.
The problem is that it's like cancer for a relationship.
Yes.
My wife does not love it.
Uh-huh.
So, you want to find methods that help with that. And I have 7 methods in the book just geared towards that. But let me just give you one that's very simple. When I'm self-righteous, I'm usually self-righteous at a person, say my wife, mm-hmm. and she's doing something that I think is, you know, idiotic or not effective, and I use 3 magic words, and the 3 magic words are just like me. You know, if she's doing something that mm-hmm. I think is yeah. not effective, well, sometimes I do things that aren't effective.
Right.
You know, or if she's getting angry at the bank teller, well, sometimes I get angry at the bank teller.
Mm-hmm.
So I use the words just like me, and that tends to end my self-righteousness and make me feel a little bit more compassion. But there's a lot of methods that are really simple like that that work really well, and the key is that you find the method that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, different strokes for different folks. And once you find something that works for you, though, you have a friend for life.
Mm, I love that.
Yeah,
just like
sweet.
Me. Well, because
just
that's the like truth.
Me.
We're all human. We all get angry, sad. You know, we all have the same feelings, and we forget that. Sometimes we project onto our partner, you know, different things. So, yeah, I really love that.
Yeah.
I also love that you define 50 universal desires in your book, and it just makes it so simple, and they're so honest, and I'm just going to read a few of them because I think they're awesome. Safety, trust, independence, humor, pleasure, closeness, intimacy, nurturing. I think when we all listen to these, we can say, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
How did you come up with 50?
Well, 50 is a nice round number. I asked maybe 100 people, what's the 5 most important things you're looking for in a relationship? And it's interesting, people have different things. One of the ways to improve your relationship, to have more love in it, is ask your partner, what are the 3 most important things you want in a relationship? You know, if somebody says safety, security, and belonging,
mm-hmm.
that's different than if somebody else says adventure, discovery, and fun.
Right.
Absolutely.
So
right.
when you give your partner exactly what they want, they give you what you want.
Yes.
So you want to know what exactly that is. And sometimes you make the mistake of giving our partner what we want,
mm-hmm.
but that might not be what they want.
That's very true.
That's the golden rule versus the platinum rule, right? Golden rule is to give unto others the way you'd have them give unto you, which sometimes is good if that's the only information you have. But
right.
the platinum rule is do unto your partner the way your partner's asking you to do
right,
unto
exactly.
them, which is so much more effective.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, and so in the book, I have a lot of ways to find out what your partner really wants so you can give it to them more specifically.
Right.
Because, you know, if you can make your partner feel totally happy and loved, guess what's going to happen? They're going to express a lot of love towards you.
Yeah.
So, you know, give people what they want. They'll give you what you want.
Now, this is a slightly off topic, but I know we have a lot of single people who listen to our show. So let's say somebody's single and in the dating world. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend would be the 5 best questions to really get to know somebody if it might be somebody who could be a worthwhile partner for you down the line?
Yeah, well, you know, luckily the same communication methods that work in partnership work with singles. So that's the good news. And what I find is some good questions is things like, what do you love to do in your free time? Just so you know a little bit about
sure.
them. But once, you know, I have on the website, morelovelessconflict.com, these 12 questions that I find lead to a very deep intimacy very quickly. And so I recommend that people who are dating take those 12 questions and ask their partner them and see what happens, because it will immediately get you into what I call an instant intimacy.
Yeah.
And you get to see what somebody's blocks are to intimacy by asking these questions. So I'll give you a few of the questions, and then if people want the rest, they can go to the website. But one of the questions is simply, what helps you to feel really loved?
Right.
Because different things lead to different, you know, some people like to be held. Some people like to hear words.
Yeah.
You know, I used to have a girlfriend that used to tell me that she loved me all the time. And I didn't really like it. And that's because I don't feel loved when people tell me that they love me. I feel loved when people touch me and massage me.
Uh-huh.
You know, so different people are different. You know, my parents used to say, when they were punishing me, "We're doing this because we love you."
Yeah.
So I took the word "I love you" as you're about to be punished.
That's interesting. That's a good connection that you had, yeah.
Yeah, but some good questions that lead to intimacy are things like, what do you like best about me? Mm. You know, we don't share that information.
Mm-hmm.
Or, as I said, what helps you feel really loved? Or, what do you notice about yourself when you're with me?
Right.
These are things that bring you into the moment. Or what frightens you about intimacy? You know, we all have intimacy issues, and being honest about that and being open leads to more intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if you look at the word intimacy, the instructions for finding it are in the word, "into me see."
Oh.
So when you reveal stuff about yourself, intimacy is created. And I think we have a problem in this culture, in that we've gone for superficiality and maybe 1,000 Facebook friends, but somehow that doesn't substitute for having one really good intimate friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I want to change gears, and I have a question about, obviously there's a lot of infidelity in couples, and I'm wondering if you have any thoughts around how does one partner gain trust back from their partner after infidelity? Because I imagine that's a lot of couples who come into your practice have that same issue.
Right. You know, in fact, I often see clients who have that problem, and I think the first thing, I use the acronym RARE, I talk about in the book, where the first R stands for taking responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until you have a partner say, "Hey, I did this, it was wrong, it hurt you, and I'm the one to blame here," your other partner's not going to listen or forgive you until you do that.
Right.
And the A of RARE stands for apologize, that you give a really sincere apology. Until that happens, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
The R stands for requesting what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you need from me now that this happened?
Mm-hmm.
Because different people need different things. So your partner might need space.
Right.
They might need counseling. They might need to yell at you for a while. They might need to, you know, different people need different things. And then eventually the E in RARE stands for entrusting a new agreement, meaning you begin again and say, "This is what I promised to do."
Right.
Now, this can take I've seen it in my sessions take as little as 20 minutes, and I've seen it take as little or as big as 5 years.
But
that's usually the stages couples have to go through when dealing with what I call broken trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've worked with some couples before where the one who has been unfaithful just doesn't want to go there because they don't want to feel the shame and the guilt. And by doing that, they block that responsibility part. They say, "Oh, I did that, but, I did that, but." And like for narcissists and people who are more character disordered, it seems really, really a challenge to get them to stay connected to that level of responsibility. Do you have any tactics or methods to help somebody soften and be able to do that?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the methods I created were because I was terrible at all this stuff. You know, I was like a suicidally depressed teenage kid that couldn't communicate at all.
Sorry to hear.
So none of this came naturally to me. So I read, you know, 200 books. I interviewed everybody from Oprah to the Dalai Lama to find what allowed them to be so good at what they did. Uh-huh. And I took notes. Now, taking responsibility is not easy.
No.
So, you know, I needed to look for a little helper that would help me to do it. Now, if you can do that, it immediately ends all arguments. Because when you take responsibility, it softens the heart of your partner. So one, I have many of these methods in the book as well, but one of them is this sentence. You complete this sentence. I can see that one way I contributed to this upset is.
Mm, I like that. Just very simple.
You just complete that sentence. Mm-hmm. That's taking responsibility. Mm-hmm. Even if you start small,
yeah,
that is a beginning. And it's once again like that thing where it guides you in the right direction. As long as you complete that sentence, you're going to be in mm-hmm. the ballpark of taking responsibility. And when you do that, it opens up more love and less conflict.
Yeah,
true. So true. Mm.
So obviously you see a lot of couples. Aside from infidelity, what else do you feel like is the most common thing that comes up over and over again with couples?
Well, the big three are sex, mm-hmm. money, and parenting.
Mm. Yep, I could see that.
You know, people have different opinions about how to do that.
Yep.
And they need to learn to talk about those things. Once again, I have simple exercises to do that. But, you know, if you don't have those exercises, if you don't have those little helpers, talking to your partner who's spending all your money or not having sex with you or has a totally different parenting philosophy, that's really hard. You know, that's like, you know, flying in the air is pretty easy if you have an airplane, but if you don't have an airplane, it's really tough.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, it's nice to have these little helpers, and money especially is a big problem. So learning how to talk about money, how to not get upset when you're talking about money, that's mm-hmm. really key. And the good news is most couples have zero training in how to do that. I call that good news because even 2 minutes of training on how to do that successfully will improve your success rate by a factor of 100.
Wow.
Wow.
So we've been talking with Jonathan Robinson. He's the author of many books, but the one we're talking about today is More Love, Less Conflict. And so I imagine people are listening and they're like, okay, well, what's something that I can do sort of quickly in my relationship today? I don't have the time to invest in couples counseling. Are there sort of quick and easy tricks of the trade here?
Yeah. Well, that's really what my whole book is about, because I personally am kind of lazy. Uh-huh. And if any method takes more than about 15 seconds to describe or to master, uh-huh. I never use it.
Right.
I especially don't use it when stressed.
Right.
So that's what the book is about, is the simplest, easiest thing that a lazy slob like me can actually use when they're upset and they don't actually have any communication skills and they're in the reptile part of their brain.
Right.
You know, that's yeah. what the whole book is about. But if I was going to give people only one suggestion mm-hmm. that is so simple and so powerful, I would say every day say something to a partner or a child or a friend, if you're spending time with them, that you really appreciate about them. Mm-hmm. And it has to be sincere.
Right.
But the single best predictor of how happy a couple is the amount of appreciations they say to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't tell my wife this, okay? And hopefully she won't hear this interview. But just between you and me, I have Siri on my iPhone remind me to do this every day, because sometimes I get caught up with work and I forget.
This is.
But my wife thinks I'm the most loving, appreciative person on earth. She doesn't know that I have Siri reminding me, and she might get jealous of Siri if she knew this. So,
but wait, I have to tell you, I'm dying.
You know, that helps. And we all need all the help we can get.
My husband does the same thing. He has a reminder on his phone. It says Kelly Romantic, and he's something romantic. And I always know when he does it because it comes out of the blue. And I joke and I say, "Oh, it's Kelly Romantic time," and he laughs and we joke. But you know what? I'd rather him, need that reminder and do it than not do it at all.
But you know, most of us need reminders for so many things.
Yeah.
It's because he probably isn't the most romantic person that I've met, mm-hmm. David. Romance to him would be like a practical joke, right? So, right? So yeah. We don't necessarily think so quickly and clearly about what our partner needs. Is yearning for, because we're basically selfish people,
yes,
right?
Yes.
We're right. pretty yeah. self-centered. We need to be for survival. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really cool when people take the time. I mean, I'm much more appreciative when Christopher has written out the grocery list than trying to remember it, because he's probably going to get the things that we really need yeah. instead of just winging it.
Right, exactly. By the way, I have an amazing yeah. app. For you.
You know, when I say these appreciations, I always make sure they're sincere. I'm not just, you know, making up stuff that's not true. They're sincere.
Sure.
But when I say them, it also gets me in touch with what I love about my wife. Mm-hmm. So it's a bonus to her because she likes hearing it, and it's a bonus to our relationship because it actually puts me more in touch with my heart. Mm-hmm. And when I'm more in touch with my heart, my wife notices that, and she loves me more. So it ends up being a virtuous circle.
Mm-hmm.
And what you want to do is figure out ways to get out of downward spirals, you know, that involve blame and complain and shaming,
right.
and into virtuous circles, so you have more love, less conflict, and it builds a momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, you know, as long as your relationships are going good, you tend to be pretty happy in life.
It's true,
and that stands for more than just intimate relationships. Like I, you know, had a recent kind of falling out with a friend, and mm-hmm. You know, I suffer a lot as a result of that. Not sure that it's repairable, but that is something that can sometimes be just as challenging, because we can be close to so many people in our world, family, friends.
It's very true.
Yeah.
The good news is that the same methods, the same ideas that work in partnerships work with friends, work with coworkers, work with children. So you don't have to learn a lot of stuff, because all of those people happen to be human, and humans all really want the same thing. They want care, they want understanding, they want empathy. And once you learn, like Oprah learned how to give that, it skyrocketed her to billionaire, most influential woman on earth.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about like the truly challenging, very difficult people in the world who are really challenged in terms of their ability to have relationships and our ability to have relationships with them. So let's say we have a person listening who's married to a full-fledged narcissist.
Yeah.
What would you I understand that obviously at the core, narcissists are truly craving tremendous
sure.
empathy and appreciation, but they're very much in short supply of recognizing to give that to others,
yeah.
if at all. So is it just doomed then if you have a couple mm-hmm. where one's a narcissist, or are there ways that you weave yourself in there?
Well, you know, if you give people what they look are wanting, they tend to relax a little bit and become much nicer. You know, hopefully I won't step on toes with this thing, but our president mm-hmm. Seems to want a lot of attention.
Really?
Is that fair to say?
No.
Of course.
You know, and look at what some of his cabinet does to get along with him. What they do is they tell him how wonderful he is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that allows them to stay.
Right.
Now, it would be nice if he didn't have that need, but he does have that need. And so if I were wanting to be his friend, I was on a show with Trump 20 years ago, the Geraldo show, and I did befriend him because I said something nice about him.
Right.
Which is how he... Now, it would be difficult to be married to someone like that, and it may not be something I would want to choose. But if you have to deal with a narcissist or somebody who has a lot of need in that area,
yeah.
Telling them that they're wrong and that they should change probably won't endear them to you.
Right.
The only thing that will get them to calm down is this giving them what they want. And in this case, it's usually lots of attention and praise.
Yeah,
but it's a very one-sided, unfulfilling experience, I think, for the other partner. Yeah,
sure.
I know. It's just, I guess the lesson in that one is if you find yourself attracted to a narcissist, run for the hills first.
For the hills.
Don't say I do.
Yeah, exactly. No, but it but
right, right. It would not be something that I would personally choose, and it certainly is not an easy thing. But, you know, difficult people are made a lot less difficult if you can give them what they are crying out for.
Absolutely.
That's so true. And same with borderline personality disorder, same sort of thing, I've noticed.
But it runs you ragged.
Yes, it does. It's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
Well, because you have to be like a yes ma'am, you know? And it is. But if you
walk on eggshells.
But if you want it neutral, you know, or at least not volatile, then you have to do that, which is hard.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. But you will get less conflict. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when... people come to you and they're in like dire straits and they're ready for divorce court, and they're doing this as a last ditch effort, but you can really pretty much tell that both of them have pretty much 90% of themselves outside the relationship. Is there hope? Do you, they say, well, you know, we can give you 3 sessions. Can you fix us? Can you do anything powerful?
Well, you know, I started to do this thing where I would only see people for 3 sessions or less.
Oh, interesting.
Because I was busy, I was writing, and I didn't want to do long-term therapy. So I got a reputation of I can fix any relationship in 3 sessions or less, or they didn't pay me.
Wow.
So I was highly motivated as well. And that's where I came up with some of these methods, because the methods I saw that worked over and over, I put in the book, and I wasn't always successful. I was only successful about 90% of the time. But I've been with people who literally were screaming mad at each other for 40 years, and literally they were able to get back to a place of love in 40 minutes. Now, that's not due to my skill. It's due to the power of love and the power of communicating from vulnerability and honesty, which they hadn't done in 40 years. So when you get 2 people, even if they've been very upset for a long time, if somehow they can get back to a place of saying what they want, saying what they're feeling, taking some responsibility, you can get back to a place of love very quickly and turn the whole thing around. So I think that there's hope for any couple who really wants to give that a try. But some couples, as you said, they've already checked out completely, and they don't want to give it a try.
Mm. It is interesting. Well, it's hard, too, when one partner is kind of out the door and the other partner's fully in, and you can kind of tell. It's an interesting dynamic. Yeah. Oh, we're getting a call.
Well, sometimes people don't have hope.
Hey, hang on one quick second. We're getting a call in.
Okay.
Let's see if this worked. Let's see.
You don't know about the board.
Hi. Are you?
Hello?
Let's see. Hold on.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, perfect.
Hi. I have a question for today's guest.
Great.
Sure. Jonathan, can you hear us? Are you still on? I hope to.
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
What's your name, guest? What's your name, caller?
Thanks for taking my call. My name's David.
Hi, David.
I'm very interested in the concept of counseling and was inspired by your success rate on being able to bring couples closer together. But what do you do when one spouse is staunchly opposed to attending therapy for one reason or another?
Yeah, great question. I actually talk about this in the book at some length, because a lot of times one person in a couple is interested in growth or counseling and one isn't. So I go into a lot of detail, but let me give you a 30-second answer. If you want more, you can look into it. I say that you make a deal with them. Find out what they want. And then say, if you go to one session of counseling, I will do X for you. I will cook your favorite meal 3 times in the next month. You know, it's an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're asking them to do something that's hard or unpleasant for them from their point of view, and in exchange, you're doing something that they would like. And I often have it in terms of the same amount of time that you know, you're asking for an hour of really difficult, stressful time for them from their point of view, and in exchange, you're going to do something equally difficult that they really want. And that can often work. I never say that, you know, let's just go to counseling. You know, that sounds like it's going on forever. If you're going to go to counseling, or if you're going to do some exercise with someone and say, I'd like you to try this once for an hour, I'd like you to try this once for 5 minutes, a lot easier to say yes to something like that, especially if you're giving something back, sure, than to say, sure, let's go to a therapist for a year. You know, most people will say no to that.
Yeah, I agree.
Is that helpful?
I think that's great.
Yeah, thank you. Very practical. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, David.
So, you know, people make the same mistakes over and over, you know, if I was, I am a guy, but if my wife was saying, let's go to counseling, or when women say, we need to talk, you know, what men hear is, we need to talk about something that will make me wrong and it's going to last forever.
Sure. Uh-huh.
You know, that doesn't sound like a good deal.
Yeah, exactly.
So I say to women, you know, if you want to enroll, say, your husband or your partner in a communication exercise, say, can we do this exercise for 2 minutes and 20 seconds?
I love that.
And if we could, that would make me really happy. I'll give you a shoulder massage.
You're absolutely
well,
right.
Well, yeah. A guy can do anything for 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
I know that.
2 minutes and 20 seconds, you can sometimes turn around the whole dynamic that's been going on for a while. So these little tricks can make a big difference, but it's kind of sad for me because I see a lot of couples that don't know any of these tricks, and they go around in circles, and it doesn't look good.
Right.
You know, I would imagine that you agree with this. One of the things that I try to help couples do is generally assume either neutral or good intentions on the part of your partner, so that when you do get upset about something, if you reframe it that way, when you come to talk about it, it's less accusatory and less blaming. Do you find that to be true also?
Yeah, in fact, that is one of the methods in the More Love, Less Conflict book, where I say the method is actually, what is your partner's positive intention in saying or doing that? And by positive intention, I call that, what are they hoping to achieve? Mm-hmm. Not what they did achieve, but what are they hoping? Mm-hmm. You know, so let's say your partner says, why are you such an idiot? You know, that doesn't feel good. So I would ask, well, Joe, what is your positive intention of saying that? What do you hope to achieve? Mm. Well, I hope that she stops doing this thing that's irritating me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you would like to not be irritated, and if you weren't irritated, what would that feel like? Well, I'd feel closer to her. So it sounds like you're trying to get to a place where you feel more love, but your strategy of putting her down, is that effective?
Right.
You know, and he can see that it isn't. So this question, what's your positive intention or what are you trying to achieve, can be very useful.
Mm, it's very smart.
Yeah.
Well, I think the people's emotions just get the best of them. So it's like they can't communicate properly because they're so angry and they're dealing with their own stuff. So
A lot of times, I mean, I find that shaming comments and judgmental comments are coming from fear.
Mm.
It's the fear that what you're doing is actually exactly what you're saying, making you farther away from me, not close to me. Mm. And that's scary for people because they're losing that level of connection, even though the irritation might be what's foreground on the mind.
Right.
It's really about, but you keep doing that, which means there's no time for us.
Yes.
There's no ability to be present.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this thing you bring up is really how when people are upset and stressed, their communication gets worse and worse just at the point that you need it to be at its best.
Right.
That's why these little exercises, these little fill-in-the-blank sentences can be so useful, is because when we're stressed, we need some helper so we don't go down the rabbit hole into, you know, screaming at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some methods that my wife and I, when we first got together, we argued a lot. And so I studied, how do you not argue? And I came upon ten methods, and five of them didn't work for me. So I came upon five methods that work really beautifully. And we haven't had an argument in 5 years. Because we use these methods. Some of the methods are really ingenious in terms of stopping the upset momentum and changing things around. Let me give one that's like really easy to describe.
Okay.
If she and I are ever like starting to get like nasty and upset with each other and stressed, either of us can say the words red light. Mm. Even when I'm stressed, I can say the words red light. Mm-hmm. And red light means we have to take a 5-minute break from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that 5-minute break makes it so that we don't start hurting each other or screaming at each other. Sometimes I take a walk during those 5 minutes. Sometimes I pet the dog. But whenever we do that and take that 5-minute break, then we come back after 5 minutes. We're not angry anymore. Mm-hmm. And we can rationally talk something out.
Yep.
So that saved us a bunch of marriage counseling therapy sessions. That saved us a lot of arguments. And it's just two words. So there's lots of methods that can reduce conflict or avoid arguments, but that has been one that has worked particularly well for me.
Great. So, one last question. We're almost out of time. Yeah. Did you have one too?
Well, I was just going to say, what if somebody, I had a couple that was constantly fighting, and I said the same sort of thing, like, okay, what about the timeout method? She couldn't do it. She had to, like, get the last word in. She had to, you know, and he would say, I want to enforce this rule. She won't do it. I mean, is there something when one just doesn't want to do it?
Yeah, you know, that's why you need different options, because different people gravitate to different methods, and sometimes the method doesn't work. You know, if you need the last word, that method doesn't work.
Right.
So then there's, you know, I have five others that people can use.
Yeah.
And generally, if you try a few things, you'll find the thing that works for you and your partner. And then, as I said, you have a friend for life. Once you find something that works, you stay with it.
Yes.
Okay, so I got to throw this one at you because I think it's kind of funny to end this way. All right, so your wife comes to you and she says, do I look fat in these jeans? And I know you're a big proponent of telling the truth, as am I. What does he say to her if she's actually gained 15 pounds and she's bulging out in every direction?
Uh-huh. Well, I would say something like, it sounds like you're really concerned about how you look, because I know you want to look good for me, and I really appreciate you being concerned about that. And if there's any way I can support you to feel good about yourself, I'm here for you.
Very diplomatic.
And here's $200 to go buy a new pair of jeans.
I feel like poor guys.
Poor guys. No, they're doomed.
There's
no good answer to that one. But that was you definitely straddled that fence pretty well on that one. Okay, we have been.
Well, thank you. It was a good challenge.
We've been speaking with Jonathan Robinson, the author of More Love, Less Conflict: A Communication Playbook for Couples. And Jonathan, where can people find you and one of your other 12 books everywhere?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they can go to morelovelessconflict.com and they can get a list of 12 questions that lead to instant intimacy.
Okay.
I also have a website called findinghappiness.com, and that has everything else about me.
That's fantastic. Well, you were so insightful and practical, and I love that because I can just tell. I mean, even just talking with you in the, 45 minutes that we've had, I got a lot of great strategies. So I can understand why you're so helpful. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
My pleasure. You guys asked really good questions, and it was really fun to talk to you.
Thank you
so much.
Okay, next week we have Dr. Ellen Hendrickson, How to Be Yourself, and I'm going to bail on you, so you're going to have somebody else who's doing it. But, you never know. I may call in from a roller coaster and say, here I go. I'm at top of the blah.
Great. But I'm so happy that you're doing this for
you. I know,
you.
I never take off.
You
ever.
Never take off. And you're taking care of yourself. And
I'm
I
doing
love
it.
That you're doing the roller coaster. It's great. Just be safe. And get nervous.
Well, tell the roller coaster that.
Exactly.
I will be safe on the roller coaster.
Yeah.
All right. Love you all.
Have a great, great rest of your week, guys. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.